Now, what would these passages have in common? We read a while ago Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. We read Psalm 126 and verse 1. We read Genesis chapter 42 and verse 9. We read Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. We read Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, what would Jacob and his latter experience in Genesis 28 have in common with the Jews in Psalm 126:6, returning from Jerusalem, have in common with Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, have in common with Joseph in Genesis chapter 42, and in Daniel 7:1, have in common with Daniel? Now, there are several things that these passages have in common. In every case, these people are groups of people involved had once had a dream, had once possessed a dream of the perfect situation in life. For example, Jacob dreamed of being heir of his father. Jacob it was who stole or tricked Esau of his birthright and of the blessing of what they thought was their dying dad. And Jacob had a dream of someday taking over all the things that his father had. It was his dream. Joseph had a dream. Joseph was the favored son of his father, and Joseph had a dream of spending his life with his dad, watching his dad grow old and being close to his dad. The Israelites had a dream. They had a dream of living in the land. They had a dream of living and dying near the blessed temple and the temple site. They had a dream of living and dying in the holiest of lands, and especially near the holiest of cities. And Jeremiah had a dream. Jeremiah dreamed of a great revival. He was a preacher, and what preacher doesn't dream of revival? Jeremiah saw the people turning from their idolatry and turning to Jehovah God. He saw the people turning from their sin and turning to righteousness. He had a dream. Daniel had a dream. Daniel was a brilliant young man. Daniel's dream was that he might live and be educated with his own people and pursue his own exploits to the best of his ability with the people of God in the land of Canaan. I said the first thing, don't miss this now, don't miss it. I said the first thing these five people or persons had in common was each had a dream in his life. I said the second thing they had in common was this. Their dreams were shattered. Their dreams were shattered on the pavement of reality. And in each case, for example, Jacob dreamed of succeeding his father. But Jacob didn't get to do that. Jacob had to leave to go to Haran because Esau had threatened to kill him. And his mother said, "Son, you better leave." And so he did have to leave and spend 20 years away from what his original dream was. Joseph had his dream shattered. Joseph's brothers rose up against him and sold Joseph into slavery. He ended up in the land of Egypt, and his dream was shattered. The Israelites had their dream shattered. They had dreamed of being able to possess the land and living and dying near their beloved temple and in their beloved land and near their beloved city. This dream was shattered because Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon and took them away for 70 years to spend away from the temple site. And the temple was destroyed, and the city was destroyed, and their homes destroyed, and their dream was shattered. And Jeremiah had his dream shattered also. Jeremiah dreamed of revival. Revival didn't come. Jeremiah dreamed of staying in the land and enjoying great spiritual blessings and fellowship with Jehovah God. But it didn't happen that way. Jeremiah had to take the poor common people from the Holy Land and take them down to Egypt during the time of Babylonian captivity. And rather than seeing revival in his own land, he saw poverty in a foreign land. His dream was shattered. Daniel's dream was shattered. Daniel dreamed of being in his own land and pursuing his own exploits and going to school and being trained in his own land with his own people. But Daniel's dream was shattered. These people have two things in common already. One is they all had a dream. Number two, their dreams were shattered. Number three, all dreamed again. Jacob had a dream. His dream was shattered. But Jacob, though he did not get to see his original dream fulfilled, Jacob, 500 miles from home in the land of Haran, away from the will of God, Jacob dreamed of going back again someday. Jacob dreamed of Bethel. He dreamed of someday going back home. He had a dream again. Joseph had a dream. Joseph's dream was shattered. Joseph had another dream. He dreamed of someday seeing his dad again and seeing his brothers again. He dreamed again. And Jeremiah, though his dream, original dream, was shattered, Jeremiah dreamed again. He dreamed of someday going back to the land with those poor Jews and once again inhabiting the land. Daniel had a dream. Daniel dreamed that someday the people of God in bondage would get to go back home. Now listen to me. These people have these things in common. All of them had a dream. All or each of them saw his dream shattered. Three, each of them dreamed again. Number four, all saw their next dreams fulfilled. Jeremiah did get to come back to the land. And the Israelites did get to come back to the land. And Jacob did get to come back home to his people. And Joseph did get to see his brethren and his dad once again. I'm saying that they have these four things in common. Are you listening? Are you listening? The first thing they had in common was this. One, each had a dream. Secondly, each had his dream shattered. Thirdly, each dreamed again. And fourth, each saw his second dream fulfilled. I have to dream. I have to dream. I cannot live without dreaming. I just can't do it. It's a part of my makeup, part of my life. I have dreams that you wouldn't believe. I have hopes for the future. I have plans. I'm always looking forward. I hardly ever look backward. I'm always looking forward. I have dreams. You've heard me say this. I travel. I have preached the last time I checked. I preached 118 times in Los Angeles area. I've never seen Disneyland. I've never seen Knott's Berry Farm. I've never seen the Coliseum there. I've just never seen anything. I've never seen the Pacific Ocean except flying out of the LAX airport, and never seen it. I have been to Arizona over and over and over again to preach. I've never seen the Grand Canyon. I've never seen the beauties of Arizona. I have been to New York State. I've never toured the Adirondacks. I've been to Miami. I've never seen Miami Beach. I've seen the whole country and not seen the whole country. Well, you say, Brother Hines, are you ever going to see Disneyland? Oh, yes, I'm going to see Disneyland. You say, you ever going to see Knott's Berry Farm? Oh, yes, I'm going to see Knott's Berry Farm. Brother Hines, you ever going to see Grand Canyon? Oh, yes, I'm going to see Grand Canyon. Well, Brother Hines, when are you going to see it? I don't know. Well, you better hurry. You're not as young as you used to be. Neither are you, but I am. But you say, what if you die and never see it? I won't worry about that at all. Doesn't bother me. If I die and don't see that, I'll dead sure be seeing something better than that. And I won't worry about me. I don't have to see Disneyland, but I have to dream of seeing it. I don't have to see the Grand Canyon, but I have to dream of seeing it. It is not important that all my dreams be fulfilled, but it is important that I dream. And so I am. I'm talking to folks this morning. All of us had our dreams. As young people, I'm talking to somebody this morning. As a young person, you had your dream. You saw your future. You saw your life laid out before you, and you had your dream. Remember at the marriage altar when you had the dreams you had at the marriage altar? Remember all the plans you had and the dreams you had? Yours was going to be that ideal marriage. And never were going to fuss whatsoever. And you heard about the fellow, didn't you, that told his friend, he said, I got a new car for my wife. He said, man, that is the best deal I've heard of in my life. But anyway, you'll think about that at lunch today. You had your dreams, didn't you? Remember when you stood beside the crib or looked through the window in the maternity ward and held that little piece of paper up with your baby's name on it and everybody came, and you waved at the baby, remember? And the baby waved back at you, remember that? Nobody saw it, but you saw it very plainly. And remember the baby said, Daddy and Mama, through the window. Nobody else heard it, but you heard it very plainly. Other folks thought the baby was... the truth is, remember those dreams you had when you held that little one in your arms for the first time? Remember all the plans and dreams you had? And there you saw all the hope for the future. And remember the dreams you had? Remember the dreams you used to have when you graduated from high school or college? Remember the dreams you had? Preacher, remember the dream you had when you got out of college or seminary? You were going to make Dwight L. Moody look like a preacher boy, and you're going to make First Baptist Church in Hammond look like just a little rescue mission in comparison. I recall that day I preached to the college on Have a Dream. Have a Dream. I said, who has a dream? And good night, the Mexican fellow that's down in Texas now, Louis Oliveira, he jumped up and he started, I've got a dream! He said, I want to start a church and we're going to run 100,000 in Sunday school. And so far he's an assistant pastor working with this Mexican people down there, Spanish-speaking people, and they run about 300 in that work. But remember those dreams you had when you got out of school? And remember the dreams you had? Remember the dream house you had? Oh, everything was all laid out in your dream house. And remember the dream you had of having good health all of your life? And all of us have had our dreams, but the truth is, for some, it's worked out just like the dreams. There are a few people in this room, not many, but there are a few, for whom life has worked out exactly as you dreamed it would. I mean, you've got your dream home, and you've got your dream husband, and he's got his nightmare, but you got your dream husband, and he is everything that you dreamed he'd be. And you got the job you wanted, just exactly the job you wanted. And for a few people, not many, a few people, every dream of your life has panned out exactly as the dream. But the truth is, for most of us, we are like Jeremiah and Daniel and Joseph and Jacob and the children of Israel. For most of us, our dreams, many of our dreams, have been shattered on the pavement of reality and truth. Your dreams of youth, are you listening? Your dreams of youth may not have panned out as was the dream. It may be that those dreams you had at the altar of marriage have not panned out exactly as you dreamed they would. It may be that the dreams that you had when you held that little one in your hand and realized that you and your wife had shared to bring forth a never-dying soul into this world. And you held that little child in your hand, and you saw the piano lessons. And you saw, you didn't see the piano lesson bill at the end of the month. And you saw purity. And you saw the wedding. And you saw the dream that you held for that, you had for that precious one. It may be that most of us, that dream has not turned out exactly as you dreamed it. The dreams at the altar and the dreams at the crib. It may be that your dreams of health have not become fulfilled. It may be that what you dreamed you'd be in business has not been fulfilled. Now, the truth is, the average person in this room today has not seen fulfilled in reality those dreams that you had in your youth. Now, that means that you can do several things, because everybody, not everybody, but nearly everybody in this room today is standing over spilt milk. And you're standing over air castles that have crumbled before your eyes. And you're standing over the dreams that have been shattered as a plate glass window is by a ball or a brick that's thrown through it. And most of us in this room today are not living in the reality of the dreams of youth. Now look at me. There are several things you can do. You can look at those dreams that are shattered, and you can blame God and get bitter if you want to. You can say, God is not good to me. I've loved Him. I've tried to serve Him. And the dreams of my childhood have not become realities. The dreams at the altar of marriage have not been fulfilled. the dreams at the crib or the maternity ward have not been fulfilled. And God's not been good to me. And if you want to, you can blame God and become bitter the rest of your life and live a miserable, beggarly life from here on to eternity. Or you could do this. You could blame others and become aloof. You can say, so-and-so did so-and-so to me, and I'll never trust anybody again as long as I live. I just don't have confidence in anybody. I hear that every week of my life. Well, the first person you better start with is you better lose confidence in yourself. I just don't have confidence in anybody. I don't know what. I've lost all my faith in humanity. I don't know anybody that I have confidence in. Now, the honest, simple truth is, if you want to, you can live like that. But I tell you how I'm going to live. I'm going to place my confidence in Wendell Evans. If he betrays that confidence, I'm going to place my confidence in Larry Bullard. If he betrays that confidence, I'm going to place my confidence in Glenn Lively. If he betrays that confidence, I'm going to put my confidence in Ray Fordway. Now, I'm not going to live saying, well, I have confidence in anybody. I don't trust anybody. Now, I'm going to trust everybody. Now, I'm not going to live that bitter, aloof life filled with morose. Why, you say, preacher, haven't you had your confidence shattered in people? I have found out that people are human, if that's what you mean. But I've never had my confidence shattered in anybody. Now, there's some people I wouldn't trust with my pocketbook. But I don't dwell on that. I just trust the next fella. And if he betrays me, I just trust the next fella. Well, you say, I'll tell you what, boy! Now, no, well, look at your face. You can, if you want to, blame others and become aloof. Never trust anybody again. Or you can do this. You can blame yourself and live in remorse the rest of your life. I tell you what, I haven't got any confidence in myself. I've goofed it now. There's no hope for me. I'm just no good. I'm just no count. And I have no hope for the future. I'm just going to go out and commit suicide. I don't know and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. Now I'm good for nothing. There's nothing I can do. Now you can do that. Now listen. Almost everybody, if not everybody in this room, has not had the life that you planned to have when you were young. Something has gone awry. Something has gone wrong. Some dreams have been shattered. All of us have those. Now, if you want to get bitter and blame God, do it, but you'll be the loser. If you want to get aloof and blame others, do it, but you'll be the loser. If you want to blame yourself and become remorseful, do it, but you can be the loser. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame the devil and dream again. As I see my dreams shattered on the pavement of reality, I'm not going to blame my great Jehovah God. I'm not going to blame the contemporaries with whom I walked the face of this earth during my generation. And I'm not going to lay down and say, I can't do it again because I am just a flop. I'm going to say, old smutty face, you sorry rascal, you blew my plans again. But I am going to get back and I'm going to dream again. Joseph said, I dreamed and I saw my dream shattered, but I dreamed again. Jacob said, I dreamed, but I saw my dream shattered, but I dreamed again. Jeremiah said, I dreamed, I saw my dream shattered, but I dreamed again. Daniel said, I dreamed, I saw my dream shattered, and I dreamed again. Let me say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, just because some of your dreams have fallen on the pavement of time, don't you give up your dreams for eternity and for what God can do with you in the future. In this room this morning, there's a young lady who had dreams like all young ladies have. I'm sure that she dreamed, though I've never talked to her about it. She's a lovely young lady. And I'm sure she had dreams of marriage and children and family and home and health, prosperity. But that young lady was in a tragic accident. Both of her legs were amputated as a result of that accident. That little young lady could have said, I blame God and I'm bitter. She could have said, I blame society and I'll have confidence in nobody again. She should have said, I blame myself and I'm morose. But no, she didn't. She said, I am going to dream again. And that little lady with both legs amputated got up and learned how to walk without any limb except two artificial limbs. And not only that, she learned how to drive a car. I'll never ride in the same car while she's driving, but I learned how to drive a car. And by the way, she went to college, and she has dreams for the future. Why? Because she wasn't like some of you givers-uppers. She said, I had a dream. Young folks, so talking, please. I had a dream, she said. She said, my dream was shattered. But she got up and said, I'll dream again. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, life is too wonderful not to dream again when one dream has been shattered. The future is too bright. The Word of God is too true. Jesus is too real. Salvation is too permanent for you and I to have a few of our dreams splattered on the pavement of circumstance. And us in remorse, bitterness, distrust, to say it's all finished. I'll not dream again. You know, your broken dream makes it more needful for you to dream again. The very fact that your dream is broken. A young lady in this building dreamed. I'm sure she did, though I've never talked to her, but she's human. Young lady, she dreamed of marriage and children. She dreamed of motherhood and being a wife. She dreamed of a home and a car, cottage, and all the blessings and joys of the normal young life. That young lady did not get those dreams fulfilled. She did not get to have a husband nor children. And now she's up in middle years, well into middle years. No husband, no children, and never will have. And her dreams are shattered. But she had other dreams. And that little lady is making signs back here right now for the deaf. And she's blessing as many people as any member of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Folks, nobody's life is a perfect picture. Reality never does trace exactly the outline of the dream of youth. It never does that. You say, well, I loved him and he left me. Okay, have another dream. Dream again. A little lady here this morning in this room, young lady, she had dreams of youth. Those dreams were being fulfilled. She had a dream of marriage when she married a fine young man. She had dreams of children, and God gave them three lovely children. And then her husband became ill, had surgery. And on the operating table, the doctor made a mistake on the operating table. And that young husband was taken away from that young lady and those three children. Her dreams of youth shattered. And splattered. What did she do? Blame God? Not on your life. What did she do? Blame others? Not on your life. What did she do? Blame herself and give up? Not on your life. She had other dreams. She kept dreaming. She dreamed again. Now that little lady is a very valued staff member of the First Baptist Church of Hammond and doing as good a job of rearing three kids as anybody you ever want to see in your life. I know a lady, numbers of them, but one in particular in this room, who married. Her dream was fulfilled. She had a good husband. Her dream was fulfilled. Had nice children. Her dream was fulfilled. Then she had dreams of being a grandmother and having the grandchildren come back to see grandmother. And then all of a sudden, her husband left. She doesn't know where he is now. Gone. And all of a sudden, the dreams for the rest of her life are broken. Hopes, air castles crumble like the bombs of Beirut have crumbled the buildings of that western city in the west part of that city. What's happened? Crumble! But that little lady said, I have dreams. I'll dream again. I'll dream again. I want to tell you something, folks. You're not going to despair as long as you keep dreaming. You never will. Now, you're not the only one having it tough. Now, don't misunderstand me. I sympathize with you, but don't sympathize with yourself. Let me feel pity for you, but don't you feel one ounce of self-pity. Let me feel like life has not treated you properly, but don't you blame God. Listen, I don't care what happens. God's good. And God knows what's best. And I'm saying, don't you indulge in the extravagance and folly of being bitter toward God or bitter toward man or remorseful toward yourself, I'm saying, don't you look back and say, he did not do right to me, or I did not do... Listen, you look forward and say, with the grace of God, I've got some more time to dream. Several years ago, a young lady in this church fell in love, set the wedding date, bought the wedding dress, planned the attendance. Attendants bought their dresses, had a shower. And just a few days before the wedding, there was a violation of her sacred trust of her future husband. And because of his violation of her sacred trust, because others advised her, because she knew what was best, she had to go through the humiliation of calling off the wedding. And taking those presents that folks had given her, and going, put them in a car, and going house to house, and knocking on a door, and saying, you gave me this at my shower, this is my wedding present, I'm not getting married, here's the gift back. She had the humiliation of looking in the closet and seeing that wedding gown, reminding her of dreams that now have been broken and splattered on the pavement of reality. Bitter against God, not on your life. Bitter against Him, not on your life. Folks, nobody in this world has ever, since Adam in the Garden of Eden, nobody in this world has ever personally benefited from possessing bitterness. And all over this room, there are people that have as much a right to feed it as you do, but nobody has a right to feed it, because my Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So she said, I'll dream again. I'll dream again and again and again. This morning, if you're 90 years old and you've had some dreams that have been splattered and shattered, dream again. This morning, if you passed your 70 or 80 and you're 70 or 80 years of age, all of a sudden some dreams you've had of a lifetime have been broken before your eyes, then I say, dream again. Jacob did. Dream again. Joseph did. Dream again. Jeremiah did. Dream again. Daniel did. Dream again. The Israelites did. Dream again. Dream again. Dream again. And if the dream is shattered, dream again. You say, preacher, I keep on dreaming. Keep on dreaming. They keep on getting broken and broken and broken. Okay? You don't have to have your dream fulfilled. You just got to dream. You ever see anybody in love? I know a boy in this church who's desperately in love with a gal that couldn't care less about him. But he's happy. He loves her. I mean... And he's going to get her. He's about 19 years old, and she's about 18. And listen, if he were burning, if he were walking down Michigan Avenue and were burned up by spontaneous combustion, she wouldn't spit on him if it helped put the fire out. But man, this guy walks around with his head in the clouds all the time. Good night, he's got dreams. Boy, oh boy. You said, well, the house, isn't he going to be disappointed? Listen. Did you know for a few days of disappointment, a year of dreams is not a bad deal? No. Not a bad deal. And so suppose that the dreams of the altar have not become reality for you. There are other dreams. Why lament and be bitter because your first dreams have not become realities? Why not make some more dreams? Me dream on, if I am dreaming. Let me dream on. My sins are gone. Dream. Dream. The future. Tomorrow. The rest from here on in. Dream. I think about that. I think about the little story I've told you. Old Dr. Ford Porter. One of the sweetest Christians I ever met, Dr. Ford Porter. I went down to see him in the latter years of his life. He was about 80 years of age, close to it. Went down to see him. The old man already had a heart attack. barely could walk around. He was soon to die. He's pastor of that Lifegate Baptist Church down in Indianapolis, Indiana. And the old man said, Dr. Hiles, Brother Jack, you got Brother Jack? He said, I want to show you what we're going to do. He took me out there on the south side of Indianapolis on the I-65 or something, that bypass, one that goes by the airport and on around to Louisville. He stopped his car, and he could hardly hobble, and walked little steps about 6 inches long, and showed me a great piece of property. And he said, Dr. Hiles, these are our future plans. He said, see that spot up there? He said, that's the college. Had a little college with 100 students, I guess. He said, going to build a big college building there. He said, see that spot over there? He said, that's the new 2,000-seat auditorium we're going to build for the church. The church ran about 250 in Sunday school. You say, Brother House, isn't that silly? No, it's not silly. You say, did you think you'd ever have that college? No, I didn't think you'd have that college. I knew he would never have it. Well, Brother House, did you think you'd ever have that 2,000-seat auditorium? No, I never thought he would. Well, you say, why didn't you tell him his dreaming was stupid? His dreaming wasn't stupid. He didn't have to have that auditorium. He had to have that dream. Down in Texas is a town called Terrell. Terrell, Texas is the home of the insane asylum of Northeast Texas. Where I met Dr. Evans. And the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas for over 40 years was named Dr. George W. Truett. Every week, some of us young folks, and I was a teenager, would go out there on Sunday afternoon, Doc, hold services at the Insane Asylum. And there was a fellow out there who thought he was George W. Truett. He actually did. And every Sunday afternoon, he conducted services in the First Baptist Church of Dallas, at least what he thought was the First Baptist Church of Dallas. He'd stand out there on the side of a building overlooking the yard or the campus with an invisible congregation. He'd take an invisible offering, just like some of you gave this morning. He'd take an invisible offering. And he'd preach to 5,000 invisible people out there. He thought he was pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas. And one day somebody said to me as we're standing here, why, just a teenager. He said, isn't that pitiful? I said, why? Why is it that man thinks he's George W. Truett? I said, so does George W. Truett. So they both think the same thing. But he said, isn't that pitiful? Don't you feel sorry for him? I said, no, I feel sorry for George W. Truett. It's George W. Truett that preaches to 5,000 and has to raise the money. He doesn't have to raise a dime. He hasn't got one deacon meeting he's got to go to. Truett's got to wrestle the deacons every month. Not one problem. Not a single member got up and walked out on him that afternoon. I'm not so sure he hadn't found the secret. He just dreamed. That's all. He just dreamed. Now, I weep an awful lot for folks in this room. And my heart breaks for you, and I have pity for you. But let me have it all, would you? Don't you have any. Let those of us who know you pity you. But don't you pity yourself. Let those of us who know you feel sorry for you and weep over you, but don't you weep over yourself. And don't you look at your shattered dream and say, I blame God and I'm bitter. And don't you look at your shattered dream and say, I blame others. I don't trust anybody again. Don't you look at your shattered dream and say, it's my fault. And I'm a failure. And I'll never amount to anything. Look at the devil. Point your finger in his face and say, it's your fault! And I will dream again. Father, bless the message to us.